past the time I used to look into my father's eyes.
It's a Football Monday, a Reaction Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura with you. And Cleveland Browns tickets are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium for Browns football. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or please call 440-824-3434 today. Let us, we tell you it's Reaction Monday, and that means you call us at 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, and a bunch of you have. You're tweeting us as well at Browns underscore daily. But let's go out to Bob, who is on his cell. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Vic?
Doing great, brother. What's up?
Hey, I was impressed by Thursday's game. I thought that we did very well. We didn't beat ourselves, even when it was clear we were playing a superior team. But we didn't make mistakes. We kept calm. We kept cool. We kept disciplined. And I thought, overall, we played very, very well. Yeah, we play a superior team. But that's going to happen. And pretty soon, we're going to start beating superior teams. But for the moment, for a third preseason game, we kept our heads. We didn't lose our cool. We ran our routes well. I thought we did a very good job. I have hope for this year.
Okay. Well, there's a guy who didn't get caught up in a lot of what could easily be the step back talk. Some would say a setback, but you and I are in agreement that it's not that. And Bob certainly doesn't see it that way. Okay, going up against the superior team, I'm not sure I come out of it as upbeat as he is, but I think he's making a valid point about, you know, where do you see promise? And the promise still is contained with the reasons why we like those first two games. That there is better coaching on the offensive side, that there are more aggressive plays being called offensively and defensively. The defensive talent is strong and deep. We saw an indication of the depth on Saturday. If you had a look at anything in that front seven, and especially that D-line, depth rang through.
Absolutely. And I'll say this to his point. To me, there's a fine line between not panicking and trying to force the issue and staying in first gear, because at some point the better team is going to run away from you. You've got to take some chances, and we talked about we would have liked to see Whedon. But I think you bring up a great point about the defensive line. Paul Kruger, one of the things we talked about last Friday, I said this is Paul Kruger's opportunity to say, listen, even without Shear Domingo, they brought me here because I'm a beast in my own right. I don't need the help on the other side. And I thought he played very good. Sack on the first series, finished the game with one sack and three hurries on 27 pass rush snaps. I thought that was very, very good. And I even liked the one play after they gave up a big run. They went to kind of a 4-4 look where they had Kruger playing as almost a fifth down lineman. They had the three backers behind it, and they shut Vic Ballard down on that run play. I thought he did good. Ataba Rubin, two quarterback hits, two quarterback hurries on 27 pass rush snaps, which is very impressive for an interior lineman. I thought he was a force. I thought he was around Andrew Luck a lot. Billy Wynn, four stops in the game. All six of his tackles in the preseason have been stops. I liked what I saw from him. Quentin Groves didn't actually get to Luck, but still had four quarterback hurries, so I thought that was good stepping in. He's shown maybe not as great against the run as you'd like, as Jabal Sheard and his ability to do everything for you, but I thought Quinn Groves looked a little bit to me like he could get to the quarterback. So I thought the defensive line actually was good, and really when you break it down and you say, yes, Andrew Luck picked them apart a little bit, he still only averaged 6.6 yards per attempt. Andrew Luck threw 25 passes and had 164 yards. For as good as he looked and as good as you and I think he is and know he is, at the end of the day, there was a lot of bend but don't break with this defense, which I thought was positive.
Well, on the first drive it was, especially. But I thought the rest of the time he did what he had to do to manage them and get them into scoring positions.
He's good.
I was going to say, the numbers don't tell the accurate story, I don't think, with him, because he was moving the team well, and it was a combination of what he did with his arm and what he did with his legs.
Right,
too.
20 yards rushing, scrambling. That's on four scrambles. That was very, very big, and he's very effective in that role. He doesn't get a lot of credit for that. He's very, very good, and I think this was a very good team. I would have liked to see the offense step up a little bit more. But listen, 10 points allowed in the first half. You would like to think that the Browns can score 10 points and a half, and then all of a sudden it's a tie game at halftime. That's a whole different scenario. So I think if the offense could have done a little bit more, that certainly would have been good there. But I thought the defensive line was very good. And I'll tell you what, with Phil Taylor playing the way that he is, Ataba Rubin and Dez Bryant, and Dez Bryant played well before, obviously missing this game, Rubin is playing great.
I think
Ataba Rubin
is playing
phenomenally well. Kruger's as good as advertised. I think that the front seven, again, will remain a strength of this team. And they were playing without three guys who I think are going to be very important. Dez Bryant, Jabal Sheard, who I keep saying, I'll say it again, is going to the Pro Bowl this year. I think he's going to have a phenomenal season. And, of course, Mingo.
Yeah, and again, you got to keep an eye on the health of some of these people, too. So Sheard had that issue.
Back at practice today, which is good.
But he's back at practice, which was a good sign. And
great
I think
sign.
Last week there was still that question mark as to and he was hearing those questions. And I think basically it was being kind of pushed downward, the idea that, okay, maybe he's got something that's going to be a real issue here. And again, hopefully that's not the case. Now, we still have the issue with Barkevious Mingo and not knowing when he's going to come back, what the issue is with his lung, that bruised lung, and how long all of that's going to take. So stories like that still are troublesome in the broader scheme. But in terms of what you look at with this team, the depth that's there, I guess I felt good to know that, hey, they can still get after the quarterback. Now, I want to believe they're going to get after it a lot better with a healthy Barkevious Mingo in the lineup. But for now, I'm not hating the idea that, and then when you get a Desmond Bryant back, that this front with Sheard healthy, with Bryant healthy, with what we see from Paul Kruger, with what Quinton Groves is bringing, Jabal Sheard, I mean, all of that, I think, starts to just give you a really good feeling for, and then when scheming is going on and when they're tearing after the quarterback with Ray Horton's play calls and blitz calls and safeties are coming after him and corners are blitzing and quarterbacks have no idea who's coming after him and where they're going to come from.
Yeah, I like it. It is going to be an exciting defense. And I think when you break it down and you say Quinton Groves is your fourth outside linebacker, that's pretty good.
That's really good.
That's really good.
He's an active player and an effective player.
Absolutely. So, and I like a lot of the multiple fronts you're getting out of this defense. I talked about the one time they basically had five guys on the line of scrimmage with three backers behind it. They've had, you know, two down linemen with four linebackers rushing at times. So there are a lot of fronts and a lot of ways to capitalize on the depth of this team in the front seven. I want to talk to you about the kickers right now because I thought Shane Graham looked very good. You know that he's done it in the past. He's a veteran of the NFL. Knocks it in from 50, knocks it in from 44. The length on his kickoffs I did not think was an issue whatsoever. Bogutay nursing a little bit of an injury. How do you see this kicker battle shaking out?
Yeah, I think Shane Graham made such a huge forward step because the more special teams coaches I talk with, and I'm not laying this specifically on Chris Tabor, the Brown special teams coach, but I'm talking about guys that I've been around. Bruce DeHaven, who's been one of the best through the years, worked in Buffalo, worked in Seattle, San Francisco, Dallas. He's been around this league. He would be one that I went to on a source on this. Joe Avezzano, who had worked, the late Joe Avezzano, worked for the Cowboys, notably, and on with some of the top special teams coaches that I know in this game. And you know what they universally tell you? They tell you that if you've got the experienced kicker available, you want that guy. As long as his leg is good enough and sound. And for years, we knew what that was. He was number four, and his name was Phil Dawson. So age wasn't taking away, certainly, from his leg strength. He was freakish somewhat in that regard, but he also took great care of himself, his physical makeup, and had the accuracy, dependability, ice in the veins. And that, I think, is the kind of thing. Now, I'm not going to put Shane Graham in the category of a Dawson because Dawson's in his own category, but Graham has been in this league for 12 years for a reason. Teams see the reliability, the trust that you should have in this guy. And all he did, I thought this was a perfect scenario for him. He knew just what was happening Saturday night. A door opened wide open for him with Brandon Bogutay getting that groin injury. Brandon Bogutay does have the stronger leg. He's the younger guy, and he was the presumed odds-on favorite because of that, as long as he showed that the situation wasn't too big for him, right? NFL pressure and replacing Phil Dawson. Shane Graham goes in there, cool as you could believe.
And cucumber.
Cool as a cucumber. Cool as what is Stewart always got?
The other
side
of
the
pillow.
He was doing all of that, and he brought distance with it, 50 yards, 44 yards. I like seeing that.
And they didn't just barely go in. I mean,
no,
they were hit.
And when I talked with him after the game, the best part was, you know, I set it up by saying, hey, Bogutay, the conventional wisdom, he's got the strong leg, you got the savvy, the experience. He said, look, my leg strength has never been an issue. And he didn't say it in any snippy, you know, way. He said it very, or edgy way. He just sort of said it matter-of-factly. My leg strength isn't an issue. In this game, you got to take advantage of opportunities. And he very matter-of-factly went ahead and did that. I liked seeing that from a pro. That was a veteran pro.
Absolutely. And don't forget, last year, the Houston Texans, a team that had Super Bowl aspirations, felt strongly enough that he could be their kicker, and he was their kicker last year. I like Shane Graham. I have obviously Brandon Bogate, very impressive watching him kick the ball, but I know what Shane Graham can do. I've seen him do it. I thought he made last night. And when you think about it, Vic, there was a lot of those were huge pressure kicks.
Oh,
he misses those kicks. It's probably a good night, Irene, for Shane Graham. So to knock those in from 50 and 44, not the lowest, the highest percentage field goals when you chart out some a kicker's, you know, field goals 40 and over, 50 and over, to knock in two of those and show good length on the kickoffs. I thought Shane Graham had a very, very nice accounting of himself last night.
All right, we want and we will take more of your calls. We got some people on the line. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850 on Reaction Monday. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by
Liberty Ford.
Oh.